There's an old adage that says that God is not so much concerned in your ability as he is concerned in your availability. And the idea behind that saying is sometimes we can get all wrapped up in whether we have the talents or whether we have the gifts or whether we have the skills that God can really employ for his purposes, when maybe really all that God needs is just a heart that is open and available for him to use. And one of my favorite stories along those lines in Scripture is the story of the call of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, where God comes to Moses and has a calling for Moses that he wants him to go and help deliver the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses immediately begins to bring up all of these different excuses about why he is not the right fit for the job. Doesn't speak very well. People aren't going to listen to him. And God, in the middle of that conversation, says to Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" And Moses says, "A staff." And God says, "Throw down that staff." So he throws down the staff, and God begins to show Moses how that staff can be used by God for this task of helping to deliver the Israelites. And the point of that story that I really love and I take heart in is that God doesn't need a lot to work with. If you got a staff, God can work with a staff. You might not think you have a lot of gifts or talents or abilities, but if you got a staff, God can use a staff. God's not as concerned about your ability, but your availability. There's a word in Hebrew that connotes availability. It's the word here on the screen with these dots and funny marks. You pronounce it hanini. Say that with me, hanini. It's one word in Hebrew, but we translate it three words in English. The word means here I am. Here I am. I've been told that in the Hebrew language there are two ways in which you can tell someone that you are present, that you are here. One of those ways is with the word po, P-O-H, po. And so if you were a teacher in a Jewish school and you were taking roll, you would call out the student's name and the student would respond by saying, po, Joseph, po, Michael, po, David, po. And that word basically means I'm physically present. I'm here, I'm in the seat, I'm in the chair, I'm here, po. But hanini is a little bit different of a word. It's deeper, has a deeper meaning. It doesn't just simply mean I'm physically present. It means that I am completely present. I'm not just a body in a chair, but I am here, I am prepared, I am ready for whatever you have for me. Here I am. Hanini. And that word shows up a handful of times in the Old Testament. And whenever that word shows up, it always happens to come about in a person's life when there's something very disruptive happening in their life. That God is coming with a calling, or God is coming with a command or a task. And sometimes that task is not very easy and not very simple. But the response that the person is supposed to give is hanini. Here I am. Well, our theme for this year as a church is to be a church becoming a gospel community. A church that is embodying the gospel and that is on mission with Christ Jesus. And if we're going to be a church that's on mission, we have to have a spirit of availability. We have to have a spirit that says, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm here, ready to be used by you. Here I am, hanini. And so this month of December, we're going to look at four stories where a character in Scripture has that kind of response to God. And the first story we want to look at this morning is a story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And if you have your Bibles, please open them to Genesis chapter 22, and let's look at this story together. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on Genesis, says that there are seven times that God visits Abraham. And the first time that he visits Abraham is in Genesis chapter 12, and the seventh and final time that God visits Abraham is in Genesis chapter 22. And the first time that God visits Abraham, he comes to him and says, I want to ask you to go and take up your family and leave your homeland and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And he offers him this promise. He says, if you go, that I'll make you into a great nation, and that I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, Abraham is faithful to that call. Him and Sarah, they pack up their items and they head off to where God is leading them. And Abraham trusts in the promise that God gives him in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham doesn't exactly know how it's all going to come about because him and Sarah, they don't have any children. Sarah is barren. She is past the ages of childbearing. And so Abraham doesn't know exactly how this is going to come about, but he trusts God. And he trusts that somehow God is going to make this promise come about. Well, a few years pass, and as Jim mentioned, eventually Sarah has a child. They named that child Isaac. He is the son of promise. He is the one through whom God is going to make this great nation. He's the one through whom all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And Abraham trusts God in that. Well, then in Genesis chapter 22, God comes to Abraham. Just at the time where we think that the roller coaster life of Abraham is getting ready to settle down, and Abraham's going to be able to live a life of peace and just focus on rearing Isaac, focus on providing for his family and preparing for the future, God comes and disrupts his life. God has a way of doing that from time to time, doesn't he? One of my mentors likes to remind me that the Spirit of God always takes you to the places you don't want to go at the times that you don't want to go there. Sometimes we think that when we're being led by the Spirit, that that's going to lead us to this place of great fulfillment. But sometimes being led by the Spirit means that God is going to disrupt your life. And that's what happens here in Genesis 22. As God comes to Abraham and asks him to take his son, his only son, Isaac, the one whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, to our modern ears, that command is kind of offensive. Why would God ask Abraham to offer his child as a sacrifice? But in the ancient world, it actually was fairly common for different gods to require that of their followers. So maybe Abraham didn't think it was that strange, but I feel very confident that Abraham did not want to do this. And the question that immediately comes to us is, why, God? Why are you doing this? I mean, after all, you've made this promise to Abraham that through him is going to come this great nation. Isaac is the child of the promise. Why are you telling Abraham now to go offer this child of the promise as a sacrifice? Why are you doing this? What's the point in all of this? And the answer to our question is found in the very first phrase of the passage, where it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. But this was a test, that Abraham's faith was being tested. And throughout Scripture, we have many different examples of how God sometimes tests his people. So, for example, God allowed the people of Israel to go through the time of wilderness so that he could test them. It says in the book of Judges that God used the other nations to test the people of Israel. There are many occasions in Kings and Chronicles where God would test kings to see if their heart was faithful or loyal to him. The psalmist even cries out to God and says, search me, O God, and try my heart, and test my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to life everlasting. In the New Testament, James and Paul and Peter all warned Christians that there are going to be times in your life where you're going to be tested. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Because that's what God does to his people to help them grow, as he allows them to be tested. And that's what's happening here in Abraham. But tests are not fun. Anybody who's been in school, you know that tests are not fun. You have to study for tests. And they stress you out. They are anxiety-inducing. Probably some of you aren't very good test takers in school. And you kind of wonder, okay, if nobody likes a test, then why do people give them, right? If nobody really likes them, then let's just do away with tests. Well, ask a good teacher, and they'll tell you why we have tests. I'm looking at some in the audience here, and they'll tell you that tests help you grow. They assess you. They see where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. And as you go through that process of being assessed, you grow through that. You grow through tests. And so there are occasions where God comes to us and he tests us. And Abraham, his test, it had one question, which is the worst kind of test there is, right? Because if you fail that one test, that one question, you're going to fail the test, right? You kind of like to have a few other questions to kind of help the grade come back. But Abraham has one question. And here's his question. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust God? Abraham, do you trust God because he made a promise to you? Do you trust God because he made your flocks grow? Do you trust God because he made a covenant that through you all the families of the earth will be blessed? Do you trust God because he gave you a son? Or, Abraham, do you trust God because he's God? It's the same question that Job was wrestling with when we studied the book of Job last year. That Job faced trials, and Job's issue, the main question that he was dealing with is, how much faith do you have in God? Do you have faith in God because he's allowed you to get rich, Job? Do you have faith in God because he's given you a big family? Do you have faith in God because you have good physical health? Or do you have faith in God because he's God? Because he's creator. Because he's the ruler of the world. How much trust do you have in God? That was Abraham's test question. See, the test wasn't simply to offer Abraham's son on the altar, although that was a very tough, tough thing to do. But actually, the test is deeper than that. The test was, Abraham, can you offer the promises of God on the altar? Abraham, can you offer the covenant on the altar? Abraham, can you take all the benefits that God has promised to you, and can you place those benefits on the altar and just say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Scholars have noticed that there are several occasions in Abraham's life where God would give Abraham a hard command, but then he would soften it with a promise. So, for example, in Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham with a hard command. He says, I want you to leave your homeland, leave your family, and go to a place I'm going to show you. That's difficult to pack up and move. But God softened that command with the promise. He says, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you into a great nation. The ones who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And through you, all the nations of the earth will bless. He softens that hard command with a promise for Abraham to hold on to. Same thing happens in Genesis chapter 17. God comes to Abraham and says, I want you and all the males of the household to engage in this covenant of circumcision. That was a hard command. But God softens that command by saying, I'm going to make your generations, your descendants, like the sand on the seashore. He had a way of giving Abraham a promise to hold on to in the middle of the hard command. But in Genesis chapter 22, he doesn't do that. He gives them the hard command and says nothing and gives no promise, no assurance of hope, no hope for the future. No, everything is going to be okay, Abraham. Just do this for me right now. None of that. Just go offer your son. And Abraham is forced to wrestle with this question, do I really trust God when I don't see any benefit at all in trusting him? Sometimes we have moments like that in our life where God allows us to go through trials or God allows us to go through difficult times, and there's really no logical reason why we are doing this. There's no good silver lining that we can point to and say, aha, well, I'm going to get through this tough time because there's going to be a silver lining down the road. We have moments where there is no silver lining, right, church? We have moments in our life where there is, it seems, to be no purpose and no good reason why we are going through this. And it's in those moments where God is challenging us and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me when it doesn't seem to really make sense why you're going through this? That was the issue here, Genesis 22. And Abraham is wrestling with this test question of God. And he could have answered a lot of things to this question. He could have given long arguments to God. He could have argued with God as he did in other places in his life. He could have written a long essay about how much he loved and trusted the Lord. But Abraham answers this test question with one word. Hanini. Here I am. The word is used three times in the story of Abraham in Genesis 22. The first time it's used is when God initially comes to Abraham. It says, Abraham, Hanini, here I am. And God goes on to give Abraham the hard command of offering his son Isaac. Well, Abraham immediately gathers up the supplies, saddles the donkey, gathers a couple of servants together, and him and Isaac start to make that journey to Mount Moriah. And as they're on that journey, Isaac starts to put two and two together. He realizes that we have wood for the sacrifice. We got the fire, but where's the animal that we're going to sacrifice? Eventually, Isaac gets up enough courage, probably clears his throat. Father, and Abraham says, Hanini, here I am. I see the fire and I see the wood. But where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. They get all the way to Mount Moriah. And I don't know what happened at that point. I wish the text would tell us more. Did Abraham and Isaac sit down and have a conversation? Son, sometimes the Lord asks you to do tough things, and we don't always understand, but we just have to follow what the Lord says. Or did Abraham just not say a word at all and just took Isaac, and before Isaac knew what was going on, bound his hands behind his back and laid him on this wood altar? Somehow it took place in one of those ways. And then he places Isaac there, and then he pulls out the knife, and he raises it up towards heaven, showing that he is going to go through with this as God has asked him to do. And in that moment, an angel cries out and says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham says, for the third time, Hanini, here I am. And the angel says, don't hurt the lad, for the Lord knows that you fear him. Lord knows. You passed the test, Abraham. You answered correctly. You get an A on the test. You did a good job, Abraham. The Lord knows that you fear him. When God called to Abraham, Hanini. When Isaac questioned his father, Hanini. When the angel cried out to stop the sacrifice, Hanini. That was Abraham's response. That was how he responded to God coming to him with this test. As God was probing his heart to see, how much do you trust me? Abraham's response over and over again is, here I am, God. I'm here. My heart is laid open before you. And whatever you need to do inside of it, I trust you. I trust you. And that's the challenge for each one of us is, can we, as we sang in that song, which I'm so thankful Twan led us in that, can we have a spirit as a church where we say to God, God, here I am. Test me. My heart is open. Help me understand my strengths and weaknesses. Help me understand where I'm falling short in my walk with you. Help me understand what I'm going through. Here I am. Test me. Now, I want to be honest with you. I was thinking about this sermon over the weekend, and I was thinking, I don't want to do that. I do not want to say that to God. Because God will, he'll test me. You ask God to test you, he will test you. Maybe he won't ask you to offer a child in sacrifice, but he'll test you. He'll test your heart. He'll try to help you, because that's how we grow. That's how we mature. That's how we grow as a disciple, as God comes in and he probes our heart and he helps us to grow and mature in that way. And so how can we find the ability and the strength to be able to say to God, here I am. I'm available for you to test. Well, at the very end of the story, Abraham names the place where they are. As Jim prayed in his prayer, they call this place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And that word provide, it's a special word. It means see to it. See to it. The one who is going to make sure that everything happens. The person who is going to take care of the details. That's what the word means. The person who's going to take care of the little things. This is the person who makes sure that the luncheon is going to go off in a good manner. Like, if there's going to be a luncheon, you do not want me to be in charge. I can cast the vision for the luncheon, but it's going to be tables with no tablecloth, pizza that we got from Domino's, and maybe some lemonade if I get the time. I mean, that's what the luncheon is going to be. You want that person who's going to make sure that we get all the details, that we have all the forks, and we have all the knives, and we have all the spoons, and we have all the napkins, and we have enough tables, and we have enough chairs, we got enough food, we got enough drinks, we got enough ice. You want someone who's going to take care, like Lori Brookshire, someone who's going to take care of the details, right? The one who will provide. And what Abraham was saying is our God is a God of the details. He's the God of the little things. He's the God who will see to it. He will make sure that it happens. And that was Abraham's perspective. But as he was walking to Mount Moriah, he didn't know how it was going to work out, church. He didn't know how everything was going to come about, the promises that God had made to him. He just knew that God was the God of the details and he'd work it out. And it was because of that confidence that caused Abraham to say, Lord, here I am. And church, listen to me. When we know that God is the God of the details, Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees to it, the one who provides. When we know that he's going to work things out, and maybe it doesn't make sense to me right now, maybe it's not logical, maybe I can't comprehend how it's all going to work out in a good way, if I can trust in Jehovah Jireh, it gives me confidence to be able to say to God, God, Hanini, here I am. Test me. Let's pray. Lord, here we are. And our hearts are laid open before you, just like Abraham's. And you're looking at our hearts, and you're wanting to find, is there true and pure faith there? Do we trust you not for what we get? But do we trust you because of who you are? And so, Lord, I pray, and it's a hard prayer, but I do pray that you would test us. Not that we want hard times or trials or difficulties, but because we want to grow. We want to be faithful. And Lord, we know that no matter what the test, we have confidence. Because you are Jehovah Jireh. You see to it. You provide. You take care of the details. And so, Lord, we trust you. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we trust you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. We're going to have our ministers and our elders and some of the elders' wives are going to be standing around the auditorium. And if you're going through a trial right now, if you're going through a difficult moment, if God is testing you or allowing you to be tested in some way, and it's hard and it's difficult, I encourage you to walk to one of our leaders and share that with them. Let them pray over with you. Let them encourage you during this time. Or if you want to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away, be added to the body of believers here, you can come to the front during this next song. and we would help you do that. However we can encourage you this morning, please come now. Together we stand and sing.